You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramah Beis Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2025. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Lech Lecha, and although the Parsha is called Lech Lecha, the Pasuk starts, the first Pasuk of our Parsha starts, Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha. Hashem said to Avram, God spoke to Abraham, and he said, go, get going. I'd like to share with you a Medrash, and the Medrash addresses the point of why did Hashem speak to Abraham? Why was Abraham chosen as the one who was instructed to go to the land of Israel, as the one who was instructed to bring God's name down into the world, to be a blessing to those around him? What was it that Hashem saw in Abraham that would make him the person that was chosen to be the one who would bring the message of Hashem to the world? I'd like to first share with you a small piece in the Medrash, and then a larger piece in the Medrash, and then another piece in a different Medrash. All of these bring out the point of why Avraham was chosen, and what we each need to do, because we need to be chosen as well. We have the ability to bring out the midas of Avraham Avinu. We can be like Abraham, and we can be people who Hashem chooses to speak through into the world. Medrash says, "Hashem Avram lech lecha hachochma talis lechacham me'asara shalitim asher hoyu ba'ir." The Medrash brings a pasuk in Kohelet, which we're going to return to a little bit later, but let's see it for a moment. It says, "The wisdom gives strength to the wise." More than 10 leaders, more than 10 powerful people that were in the city. What is this referring to? Says the Medrash. Something about Avraham. Something about him was wise. Excuse me. There's a fly. Something about him was wise. And that wisdom, Hashem gave him that wisdom more so than to 10 other great people, 10 other powerful people. Says the Medrash, who are the 10 other powerful people? There were 10 generations from Noach to Abraham. And there were many great people in that time. You look at the names, the Psukim give us the names of the forebears of Avraham and of the Jewish people. Among them were Shem, among them were Aver. Hashem says, I did not speak to any of them. Or more precisely, because we do find that Shem and Aver were prophets. They did have interactions with Hashem, but Hashem did not speak a message to them that was recorded for generations. Here's the first record. Hashem says to Abraham, you go. First record of God speaking openly, a message that was recorded and that we learned from. Yes, we all have that statement being said to us, Lech lecha me'artzecha, leave where you are, leave the gullus, leave exile, come back to Eretz Yisrael. But why did Hashem speak to Avraham and say something that would be recorded and reiterated through the generations? I only spoke with you. So what's the reason why? Why did Hashem speak specifically to Avraham? So this little piece of the Medrash doesn't answer that question. But we're going to read another piece of the Medrash that does answer the question. Why was Avraham chosen? How do we become chosen? How do we become someone who God speaks to and through? Rabbi Azariah, in the name of Rabbi Acha, opened his discussion about this parsha as follows. Ahav the tzedek, v'tis n'resha. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perkmim hey, Pasuk ches. You loved righteousness and you hated wickedness. Al kei meshachacha elokim elokecha, shem esasa mechaviracha. Therefore, the Pasuk says, someone who loves righteousness and hates wickedness is anointed by Hashem Shemen sasa mechaverecha, joyous oil from your friends. Now listen to this pasuk. We have a concept of Mashiach. We've spoken about this. It's always worth repeating, understanding, because each and every one of us has the option and the opportunity to be anointed. What does it mean to be anointed? Mashiach, which classically is translated as Messiah, the word Mashiach means anointed, the anointed one. The kings of the Jewish people were anointed. Recently, King Charles, during the whole ceremony, they pour oil on his head. Where do they get it from? From the Torah. A king is anointed. Why is a king anointed? Why is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, anointed? The Mashuach Milchama. Why were they anointed? Oil rises to the top. They pour it on the head of the person to represent that he is a head above. Oil rises to the top of the water. The leader, the king, is somebody who rises to the top. Shemen sasa mechavirecha, which in one understanding can mean there is oil that's being anointed of joy, right? A person has to be joyous. There is oil that's anointed of joy, mechavirecha, above your friends. Or, alternatively, from your friends. This person is chosen because there's something about him that everyone recognizes around him that's special. Now, what is it that's recognized? What is it? Why is it that Avraham, again, is chosen more so than all of his friends, so to speak, all of the 10 generations from Noach until Avraham? Why is he chosen as somebody who would receive a message and that message would be reiterated and learned and studied till today? Rabbi Azariah Pasar Kroya Ba'Avram. Rabbi Azariah explained this pasuk of loving righteousness, hating wickedness, being chosen, being anointed. It's speaking about Avraham, Abraham. B'shasha Amar Avraham Avinu Levakesh Rachamim L'Astaimim. Let's look at what Avraham is going to do later. And we need to understand that what Avraham is going to do later, although it hasn't happened yet, clearly, of course, Hashem knows everything that's going to happen, but it's just a manifestation or an expression of who he is, of who he was already before, just coming to the fore, coming to expression. Hashem says to Avraham, I am about to destroy the people of Sodom. You worked very hard. You chased after the four kings and the five kings to save your nephew Lot. And you saved their lives and you saved all the people of Sodom. And so you have a vested interest in these people. I'm going to destroy them, however, because they're so evil. And what does Avraham do? Avraham prays on their behalf. He says, Chalilu l'cham yasiz kadabar hazel ha'mit tzadikim rasha. Avraham Avinu says, heaven forbid, there's a lack of justice that's going on over here, Hashem. I don't want you to destroy these people. Maybe there's a righteous person that's among them that will be destroyed because of their wicked deeds. That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be right. Avraham Avinu stands up for righteousness. He stands up for justice. And I would add, and it's not the Pashup Shah, but I would add, that perhaps even in those who are wicked, there's an aspect of righteousness in each of them that merits that they be saved. Mentioned something very interesting. Hashem had promised previously that he's not going to destroy the world. He's not going to, you know, just take out his vengeance upon the people when they do what's wrong. He promised he's never going to create massive destruction with a mabul, with a flood. We saw that in last week's parsha. Hashem says, brings out the keshes, he brings out the rainbow, and he says, this is a reminder of my promise. But Avraham Avinu says, according to the Medrash, that you're trying to get around your promise. You say you're not going to destroy them with a flood. Mabul shalmayim enata mevi, mabul sheishata mevi, but did you leave a loophole for yourself, as it were, Hashem? Did you say that you're not going to bring a flood, but maybe you would bring some kind of destruction by fire? You haven't fulfilled your oath, right? And that's what we see. What's going to happen is that the people of Sodom, the cities of Sodom, are going to be turned over. There's going to be fire. There's going to be fire and brimstone. But Avraham is saying that's not just. You, Hashem, said that you're not going to bring about massive destruction. You said, like you did with the flood. But really, in order for your oath to be kept properly, you can't bring it about by fire either. Rabbi Levi says the judge of all the land is not going to do justice. If you want a world, so you created human beings to be imperfect. You created us with the Yetzirah, with an evil inclination, with a desire to do wrong, with an inclination to do wrong. We make mistakes. We're human. We do wrong. We have taiva. We have desires. So Avram is saying, look, if you created the world this way, which clearly you did, that's how you wanted it to be. So for you to interact with the world with strict justice, it's just not going to work. So if you want a world, you can't have strict justice. If you want strict justice, you can't have the world the way that you made it. Avram Avinu says to Hashem, as it were, how can you take a rope? Usually you take a rope, you want to pull something that's heavy. You tie around one end of the rope on the heavy object, let's say a table, and then you pull the rope with the other end. But Hashem, you're taking both ends of the rope instead of tying it onto the object. You're taking both ends in your hand. You're not going to pull anything that way. At bayamo bayadina, you want the world, and you also want strict judgment. Sala chadamino, you have to let go of one of them. If you don't give up one of them, the world won't be able to stand. So this was a conversation that Avram is going to have later, but it's really something that already at this point Hashem knows. Hashem sees the caring of Avram, right? He brings with him the nefesh asher asu b'charon. Avram is a person who has the ability to sway people, to take on a spiritual way of life. How does he have the ability to do that? Because he recognizes this balance between the human frailty, the human ability to make mistakes, and the bechir, the free will that a person has, and also the fact that there is judgment, and that it doesn't have to be strict judgment. Avram has this balance. It's going to be manifest in the story of Sodom, but it's already something that we know from before. It's who he was. And he says to Hashem, he wants tzedek, he wants what's right. He doesn't want Hashem to interact with the world in a way that's destructive. So this is the reason, the Medrash says, why Hashem chose him. Why did Hashem speak to him? Mechavei recha. What does the pasuk say? Shemen sasa mechavei recha. It was anointed. You were anointed. Oil was poured upon you, joyous oil from your friends, more so than your friends, says the Medrash. Ma'u mechavirecha. Minoyach ha'aretzlocha asar adoros mikom lo dibarti mecha mehem lo ela imach. Again, the Medrash says the same concept. 10 generations from Noach until you, Avraham, who did I speak to? Who did I give a message over to that would be repeated and be learned and studied? Who did I interact with? Who did I appoint as an ambassador of mine to the world? It was you, Avraham. Why did Hashem speak to Avraham? Because of this. Because he was Ayev Tzedek, and he was Sonei Rasha. He loved righteousness, justice. He hated wickedness. He recognized that there has to be a balance in the world between the wickedness and the righteousness. And we have to find that balance. And he spoke it out. He discussed it with God, as it were. But that's the kind of person that Hashem chooses. That's who Hashem anoints. That's who Hashem raises above. Raises above those who are around him. Now, the pasuk that we quoted in the first part of the Medrash is a pasuk in Koheles, Berek Zayin Pasuk Yutes. And there it says, HaChochma Toiz L'Chocham, Be'aser Shalitim Asher Hoi Be'ir. We quoted this before. Wisdom gives strength to the wise. More than 10 rulers, 10 powerful people that were in the city. So we said, in reference to Avraham, that it's talking about the fact that he was the one. There were 10 generations, 10 leaders, 10 great people that Hashem could have spoken to. But Hashem chose Avraham. Now, when we look at the Medrash in Koheles, So we see that there's a number of different examples of the concept of 10 and someone being chosen out of the 10. And when we look at a particular example of it, which I'd like to show you and share with you, so we're going to see that it also refers to somebody else, one out of 10 that was chosen. And when we compare this particular person, which is David HaMelech, King David, excuse me, we understand what was special about him, why he was chosen. We can bring it back to Avram Avinu, and we can understand for ourselves the essence of what it means to be chosen and how we have an opportunity and an obligation, a responsibility to be that kind of person. Brings a pasuk, HaChachma Toiz L'Chacham Zed David. This is a reference to King David. Wisdom gives strength to the wise. Me'asara Shalitim. More than 10 powerful leaders. Me'asara Zikenim Sha'amar B'Sefer Tehillim. There are 10 elders. There are 10 authors that are mentioned in the book of Tehillim. Ve'eluhain, these are they. Adam HaRishon. Adam is one of the authors of Tehillim. Avram. Moshe, right, we have Tefillah L'Moshe, Yish HaLikim. V'David U'Shlomo. There's another 5. There's Haman, there's Yedusun, the B'nai Kairach. Okay, Asaf. I said that already. No, I didn't. So we have, if you count them up, the Medrash discusses who the 10 are, the Machlaikis. But why is it, the Medrash is addressing, why is it that David HaMelech is referred to as, David HaMelech is referred to as the author of Tehillim, right? David HaMelech is the author of Tehillim. There's a whole slew of other names that we find. I'm going to say, Levnei Kairach, Mizmor La'asaf, different authors. So why is it that David HaMelech is singled out as the author of Tehillim? Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Acha, Aval b'sha'asar b'nei Adam amr sefer Tehillim. Although it's true that there were 10 other authors, there were 10 total authors, I think including David, who wrote different chapters of Tehillim, but who is the one that, so to speak, gets the credit for it? Who is the one who we know is the author of Psalms of Tehillim? We know that it's David HaMelech, King David. So why does he get the credit? They give us a mashal. Our sages tell us an analogy that will help us understand this. It's like a group of different people, a whole bunch of different poets, of beautiful poetry that they've written, and they want to say their anthem of their ode to the king. And they've come to present that, though they're different poems. King says to them, each and every one of you is special. Each and every one of you is awesome. Each and every one of you is pleasant, righteous, praiseworthy. Really, could any of you say this anthem song to me? But I want one representative to be the one who says it on behalf of all of you. Lama. Why? Why do I pick him? Shekhalei Arif. Because he has a beautiful voice. Right? Any one of them could sing their song. But Hashem wants specifically the one who has a beautiful voice. And we'll see what is the concept of a beautiful voice. What does it mean? So when these 10 righteous individuals wanted to say the Psalms, you certainly are all wonderful, appropriate, good, righteous, etc. It makes sense for each of you to sing my praises. But I want David to be the one who is the presenter. Lama Shekhalei Arif. Because he has a beautiful voice. Now what does it mean in this context? Pasuk says, it refers to David HaMelech at the end of his life. We're going to see this Pasuk together inside. It has the name Zemiras Yisrael, the pleasant singer of the people of Israel. Pleasant singer. So what is the concept of the pleasant singer? What is the idea of a pleasant singer? What is the value of a pleasant singer? Someone has a nice voice. So what? What is the value of that? What is the concept of that? So let's look together. This pasuk is in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Aleph. David HaMelech is referred to as the sweet singer of Israel. Pasuk says, "Va'yagidu leDavid." No, I'm in the wrong place. That's Shmuel Aleph. We're in Shmuel Beis. Let's get there. Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Aleph says like this. "Ve'ilu divrei David acharayim." The Navi says these are the words of King David, his final words. "Noam David ben Yishai." The words of David, the son of Yishai. "Unum hagever who come all." There's three different descriptions of David. First, he's David ben Yishai, David the son of Jesse. And second of all, it's the words of the man who was raised above, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, the anointed one of the God of Jacob. Then the third description is Unaim Zemiras Yisrael, the pleasant singer of Israel. And he says, and I'll just read a little bit because it's cool. "Ruach Hashem diber bi," the Spirit of Hashem spoke through me. "Milasay alashani," his word is alashani, his word is on my tongue. "Amar lekei Yisrael li diber tzur Yisrael, mashabad and tzadik mashal yiras alikim." He spoke very lofty words about serving Hashem, about being righteous. But the three descriptions, the Malbim explains that there are three different stages, three different times that David HaMelech wrote songs. And it's important for us to understand this because the Ne'im Zemiras Yisrael is a special aspect, a specific aspect of who David was and what it means that he's a sweet singer. What does it mean he's a sweet, he has a beautiful voice? So listen to this. "Ne'um David ben Yishai, Ratzalema Shazmir Sabbaim B'Sefer Ahu Kolam Shalish and Yonim," says the Malbim. What we're going to see is that the songs of David HaMelech that we're about to enumerate, which are also, I believe, what we find in Sefer Tehillim, in Psalms. So, Kolam Shalish and Yonim, it includes three different aspects. There were three different time periods in David HaMelech's life, which when he wrote songs. "Zmira Shamar al Atzmai, B'tochem Mimash Shar Koidem, Nimshach B'Yosei Roya B'Tzayin." There were songs that he wrote when he was just the simple David ben Yishai. David the son of Yishai. He was just a shepherd out in the fields with the sheep. And he wrote songs at that time. Before he was chosen, before he was anointed. Shalzeh Amar Nu'um David ben Yishai. So that's what he refers to as the words of David ben Yishai. Then we have a second group, or a second approach, or a second type of song that he wrote, Zmir Shamar Achar Shenimshach. There were songs that he wrote after he was anointed, V'achar Shem Malach Mitzad Inyanim Malchusai, and after he became king, that had to do with his kingship. B'em Yosin Nirdav, B'em Yosin Metzliach B'Malchus. Whether it was during the time periods that he was being chased by Shaul, or by his son, Avshalom. Or whether it was in the times where he was successful in his monarchy. So that's the second aspect of the verse which says that he was chosen to rise above. He was chosen as the anointed one of the God of Jacob. But then there was a third category, and this is the one to focus on. And it's why he was called the Ne'im Zemiras Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. Zemiras Shechiber L'Tzarech Klal Yisrael. He wrote songs that didn't speak of him personally so much. It didn't have to do with his own personal experience as a shepherd or his own personal experience running away or becoming the king. But these were songs that he wrote for the purpose of the Jewish people. Im Sipur Neflois Kel, whether it's describing the wonders of Hashem, im tzvilos ha'mahalalim b'avur ha'am b'chlal, or whether it was songs of praise on behalf of the nation generally. Al zeh amar u'neim zmiras Yisrael. About this, the pasuk says, some of the verses referencing, when it speaks of the fact that he was the sweet singer of Israel. You know, it made David HaMelech different. Why Hashem chose him to be the face on the book of Psalms, even though there were other authors. What made him special was that he sang songs that expressed the yearning of the Jewish people, the praises of the Jewish people for Hashem. He was someone who had the ability, and this is the general principle of what a king really is, what he's supposed to be. He's a neshama koilelis. He's a soul that includes all the other souls of the Jewish people. He sings their song. He knows how to express something that everyone resonates with. I can tell you personally, I recognize often when I write a song, and that song, somehow it, why does it do well? I mean, there's lots of detailed reasons why stuff succeeds and why some stuff doesn't. But often the success comes because there's something that rings for the Jewish people. Am Echad, a song I wrote, which speaks about our desire for unity. We might not be so able or so good at getting to a place of unity, but it's something that we all want. It's something we all wish to have. It resonates with people. The Ne'im Zemir Yisrael is that David has the ability to sing a song that will resonate with people. He cares about the people. He includes the people. So Hashem sings through him. Hashem calls the book by his name. He's the face on it. And coming back to Avraham Avinu, it was the same thing. He was somebody who cared about the people. He was somebody who wanted justice. He wanted the world to exist. He didn't want people to be destroyed. He was running around bringing people close. A nefesh asher asu b'charon. He was busy speaking Hashem's word, raising people up, bringing people to an awareness of Hashem that they didn't have before. He cared about the people. He said something that everyone needed to hear. That's why he was chosen. That's why Hashem spoke to him. Lech lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Hashem speaks to Avram because he's somebody who cares. He cares about other people. And what, you know, we all want to feel chosen. We all want to feel chosen. But the irony of it is that in order to be chosen, to be raised up, to be anointed, it can't be about me. It can't be about me. It's not about my personal growth. It's not about my personal success. It's not about anyone thinking, let's say, that I'm a great singer. It's about a message that you resonate with, that the Jewish people resonates with. It's about caring about others. It's about recognizing the big picture, that it's not about the individual, even the leader. Hashem speaks to the person who cares about others. That's Avraham. That's why Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Hashem sings through the David HaMelech, who cares about singing something that people will feel. That's the Ne'im Zemir Yisrael. That's the beautiful voice that he has. What is a beautiful voice? Something that everyone hears and they, you know, you can have a beautiful person that everyone, when you interact with the person, they're really ugly. What is a beautiful voice? It's something that you hear and you hear it. It's not full of itself. It's not a person who's full of himself. David HaMelech, Lesli Migar Meklum, he had nothing of his own. He just had Hashem's light. He just cared about the people. Avraham Avinu just cared about the people. That's who we need to be. That's who we need to strive to be. Forget about my wants. Forget about my desires. How can I care about the people around me? How can I lift them up? I want to bless you and ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to recognize, why was it that Avraham was spoken to? Why was it that David HaMelech was chosen? Hashem should help us to be those people. to be the kind of people that Hashem would choose. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.